Magical Mara Designs is proud to sponsor this episode of the WDW Review podcast. If you're looking for custom, comfortable Mickey and Minnie ears, check out our designs or send us a message at magicalmaradesigns.com.
Hello, welcome to the WDW Review, and I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by guest co-host today, Jesse Fouts. Jesse, how are you?
Great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for joining me. So, you've been on a few times now, five or six times. I haven't intimidated you or made you run away yet, have I?
So. No, not yet.
Outstanding. Got a good show. You're my expert today. I don't know if you know that, but you joined us as the expert today. But it's not what people think. It's not necessarily like Walt Disney World travel agent expert Jesse Fouts today. It's like world traveler Jesse Fouts, and I need to pick your brain about a few things later on. But we always talk about things that are good in our life, and you had a really unique experience. On my Facebook feed about maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I saw nothing but big smiling Jesse Fouts everywhere at Walt Disney World and Universal.
Yes.
Without the family, just like a rogue by himself down there.
That's right.
How'd you do that? How'd you pull that off for the rest of us dads?
Well, actually, it was kind of we had actually planned a full family trip to go down, and my wife had become a little ill, not COVID ill, but just a sinus infection, and did not feel like going down. And I had already booked some time to go down, and she's like, well, you should just go on down and, actually check it out. And I wasn't going to pass a chance up to go, and then explore Disney by myself, because, and don't get me wrong, I absolutely love being there with the kids and the family. But one of the things was just being able to take the parks at my pace and actually go and do what I wanted to do. So, research, right? I have to research and figure out what everything is about now. What does it look like now that's reopened? What is it gonna, is it gonna stay this way? What's gonna change experience wise? That type of thing.
Mary Alice took one for the team. Let's just throw it out there right now, right? I mean, she took one for the team, letting you go be down there by yourself.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But here's the cool part is everybody's thinking, yeah, they are. But your job also, you have a regular full-time job, and your part-time job is you're a travel agent with Marvelous Mouse Travels. So this was a working vacation, in air quotes, of course, because you had to experience these things. You get a lot of questions from people, and especially right now, part of the show is like, hey, this is an interesting time because people are realizing, okay, correct precautions. We can not only survive, we can thrive. And part of thriving is traveling and experiencing through travel. So, Jesse, what I'm trying to say is you had to go. You had to for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I actually took one for the team, by going, right?
All right, you lost us all right there.
Yeah, it was a sacrifice.
So. All right. So give me, I want to hear two things. Instead of the whole trip report, give me two cool experiences and give me one experience that left you, All right. So let's start off with the good ones.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the very first thing I would say is I think that I was utterly amazed at the crowd level. And when I say that, I mean the overall crowd level throughout the park, throughout the day. I think that we've all may have went and experienced, lower crowds in the mornings when you get to the park very early or stay very late.
Yep.
But being able to walk into the Magic Kingdom 2 hours after it's open and walk in and see Main Street and there's nobody,
man,
literally nobody in front of you.
Surreal.
I mean, it floored me. Like, it was just, you know, I spent some time right at Main Street, you know, like, the, you know, you come in and then you have the Roy Disney and Minnie Mouse sitting on the bench. I spent some time right there just in awe. And then I walked down Main Street a little bit thinking, you know, pinch myself. Am I really here? Is this really happening? And I'll tell you this, just incredible. And this was each park, each and every park. I actually visited all four of the Disney parks while I was there. And I'll tell you this, being able to ride Pandora Flights of Passage 3 times in a row.
Repeatedly?
And choosing not to go back for a fourth, not because I couldn't do it, just because I wanted to go do other things. Unreal. Just an unreal experience. And that was super amazing. Definitely different than you would ever imagine. So
you mentioned pinch yourself. I have a question for you.
Yeah,
so please. On the most recent show, I asked AC, that's actually out right now. What is the trigger for you when you walk into a Disney park? Is it the sight? Is it the sound? Is it the smell? What is the thing that gives you the goosebumps on the arm as you walk down? Is it the music? Like what is the trigger moment for you that says, you know, pinch yourself. I'm really here. What is that part?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So for me, like, I think it's the sight. I know the sound is a big part of that, but I think once I lay eyes on that weenie, that draw in, whether it be Cinderella's Castle at Magic Kingdom or the Tree of Life at Animal Kingdom.
Gotcha.
Or, you know, Spaceship Earth. I mean, when you just get there and you walk and you see it and you're like, I'm here. This is it. This is where I'm at. I just, you know, was in love with it. Very spectacular in the sense of just, it's like, again, you're transported. It's that escape. You're not, you know, where you were, you are where you are. Mm-hmm. You're in, you know, Tomorrowland. You're in Pandora. You're in Galaxy's Edge.
You had like the VIP tour vacation, Jesse. It was like the most intimate setting of all time. It was you and like the major attractions, and that was it.
Yeah.
So
I can't tell. I don't know how many people would say that they got to ride Rise of the Resistance at Hollywood Studios, Flights of Passage at Animal Kingdom, and Hagrid's motorbike at Universal's Islands of Adventure, all in a matter of 48 hours of each other. I mean, that to me is like, I mean, that's wow. Yeah, awesome. You're talking about attractions that held hours long wait time prior to any of this.
Yeah.
So definitely high point.
Crazy. All right, that's number one. Give me number two.
Number two, I was very, very, very surprised with how they were handling character experience.
Okay.
You know, you might have heard that, you know, the traditional meet and greets are not there right now. You can't just go up and meet princesses or Mickey. It's just not happening. But I will tell you, they innovated in a way to where you can still get those character experiences from afar and in a way to get a unique photo interaction. And one of the ways they've done it, even though they've done away with the pronounced parade that they did in Magic Kingdom, they've introduced what are called cavalcades.
Gotcha.
Which are, you know, miniature parades that they don't last. They're not scheduled, so you don't know when they're going to happen. And I think for me, that was part of the magic. You know, even being in Disneyland Park, and you can attest to this, or even in California Adventure, you can see Mickey just randomly walking, right? And that wasn't something I saw before at Walt Disney World, those random cavalcades or areas where characters never were before they were there. So for instance, you walk into, you know, on the Main Street and you're looking up at the train station and there's just a slew of characters. I mean, right there, Max, Goofy, really neat.
I saw how they displayed them and like deployed them is a wrong word, but like in Epcot where they had, you know, they had Pooh catching butterflies and whatnot, you know? So yeah. Awesome. Okay. Give me something that disappointed you slightly on vacation here.
So part of the Disney experience for me, going to Walt Disney World is food. You know, food is a good part for me, right? I love Walt Disney World food.
For sure, yeah.
So for me, like, one of the biggest shell shocks was the limited amounts of quick service options.
Hmm.
And that's not to say they're not going to come back or they're not going to open. But when I was down there, I felt like I was very, very limited in what I could eat as far as like the go-to snacks that I previously wanted. Now, you're still going to be able to get your Dole Whip. You're still going to be able to get a Mickey Premium Bar. But for instance, you want a big giant cinnamon bun over at Gaston's Tavern or a LeFou's Brew? Not happening. You want a footlong hot dog at Casey's Corner? Not happening. Or an American Sundae, you know, at the Plaza. I mean, you know, this was throughout the parks. So that, I think, was not to say they don't have dining options. They just don't have those some of those staple dining options that you would like. And and for me, that was kind of like, really, you know, like I truly just wanted a LeFou's Brew. You know, I love that. That's for those of that don't know what that is. It's similar to a butterbeer, but it's more apple tartish. But like, again, it's a frozen beverage. It's really good, but
I could see that because at that area in the park, you're already in the mindset that you're going to have that cinnamon bun and you're going to sit down, you're going to watch the crowds. And then like you are, that's part of the day. That's like part of the attraction of that day. So I could see how not having that would be like, wait a minute. No, hang on. Wait a minute. That was part of the equation. I can't take that out of the equation. So I understand that.
Right.
It was like that. I mentioned too, it was like that in Disneyland Paris, where quite a few of the places were closed, even though it was like peak season. And you kind of felt like, I kind of was looking forward to that. I knew what was going to be in there. I knew it was an ice cream cookie sandwich, but it's not there right now. So
yeah.
I get that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so you look forward to, I mean, Disney food is an attraction unto itself. You know, and I think that that's where, you know, you get that idea in your head, like that's where I'm going to eat. That's what I'm going to have.
Yeah.
And, but that's not to say it didn't push me out of my bubble either. So, you know, I did, I ended up eating things that I hadn't tried before. Just mainly because I was like, this is what I want. I'm going to go get it. And then I go and I can't get it. So, you know, I'm headed back that way to try something else. So.
But knowing you, it was like Jesse, like challenge accepted, you know, no doubt about
that's right.
That. So, all right. You didn't mention anything about Universal, and we have a lot of people that listen that
yes.
love Universal as much as they love Disney. And we're not here to judge anybody because Universal's got some amazing options. Give me something that really rocked you at Universal, and then something that left you a little disappointed at Universal as well, too.
So I'm just going to go out and say real quick, you know, I think Universal Orlando is the place to visit. I mean, they are doing it right. And again, that's not to say that Disney wasn't doing it right. Mm-hmm. I think that Universal was going above and beyond expectations for guests coming into their park. Now, keep in mind, Universal opened a month earlier than Disney did. Now, yes, we're talking logistically, Universal is not as big as Disney is, but at the same time, I will tell you this, I walked into that park and it was clean. There was somebody cleaning a light pole. I don't even know why they were cleaning the light pole, but they were sanitizing everything. Even when you walked onto an attraction, they did not have dispensers for you to just, you know, for you to do it yourself. They had somebody there squirting that sanitizer into your hands. You're putting that on before you get on the attraction.
Like a cruise ship almost, Jesse.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So not once did I feel unclean. I didn't feel like there was any sanitation issue at all. It was very, very clean. And they had staff all around just making sure things properly were being done. So I absolutely I would give it to Universal in the sense of like, who do I think actually the protocol piece of that better? And again, not saying that Disney didn't do some of those things. I'm saying Universal did that better. So I hope to make that point because I love them both.
Yeah, for sure. So, high praise too, because both companies are known for doing things the right way. So high praise at that point for both companies. But yeah, good. Tell me something though that may have disappointed you slightly at Universal.
So you know, something that I would say maybe wasn't as, you know, was different. You know, was the virtual queues, you know, because it's a little different than what Disney had done, did with the FastPass. Now, this is another thing that rolled out with COVID opening. Prior to COVID, Universal only had one attraction that you could get onto with a virtual queue.
Okay.
Outside of Volcano Bay Park. Volcano Bay has been virtual since it opened. But then they decided to add some of the bigger rides on there because of the lines. So they wanted to reduce social distancing. So in a way, this was really neat how they do the virtual queue. But I will say one of the things I was disappointed with was the handling of the virtual queues in some ways, because you had to check in to the virtual queue. And even though Hagrid's, which was game changer on virtual queue, you still had to go find the check-in point. And this was very frustrating because at one point you're wrapping all the way back into near Poseidon's Fury.
Gotcha.
You know where I'm at in Islands of Adventure. You are doing a big, long snake. But the frustrating thing was, is I walked up thinking I'm only 30 feet from where I need to go. And the guy's like, nope, it's way back there.
Oh, man.
So I wasn't happy about that because I don't feel like those are little things. I think, overall, I really didn't have a negative experience at Universal other than just that line issue. So very awesome. Universal's killing it, Chris. I think their deals right now, fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we begin to the show, which actually isn't Disney or Universal centered, like I mentioned before, you're with Marvelous Mouse Travels on Facebook, Jesse Fouts, Foutz. So reach out, connect with Jesse on Facebook. It's easy to find. Email him, and I'm going to put it on the screen right now. It's jesse.fouts@marvelousmousetravels.com. So if you got any questions, Disney or Universal, feel free to reach out. But I warn you, if you put a question, you're going to get a big answer because Jesse loves it. So he's gonna answer your question completely. So
that's right.
Anyways, so let's get into the show today. And the reason I've got you on is I put a post in our Facebook group called Edcot. And by the way, also, what's your Facebook group, Jesse, for your for Universal?
Yeah, so we're From Disney World to Wizarding World. So kind of that, catch all. Like, we love Disney, we love Universal. So
gotcha.
We're not choosing flavors, we're having both.
Right. You got the ice cream cone that has like the double toppings, right? You could put it there, you go.
That's right. Exactly.
So this is what happened to me in my life. I had a good friend contact me, and they usually drive to Florida on their vacations. And they're flying, and it may actually be the first time they're flying. So, and instead of being like a non-gender specific, it's a he. So they are flying the first time, and he's nervous. I might say he's overwhelmed, or you might even say he's paranoid at this point, because he's never done that before. So he asked me a bunch of questions, and I said, I got tips. I'm an experienced flyer, but I haven't flown for quite some time. Who do I know that's flying all over the country for his job and vacation? And so you were the first person to come to mind. So I put out a post in Edcot, and it says, I'm going to read the post, that I have a friend who is flying to Florida soon. The problem is he does not fly often and is a bit overwhelmed at the process. So we're looking for two tips. Number one, what one tip would you give someone who has never flown before in order to alleviate their anxieties? Number two, what one tip would you give anyone that is flying before, say, Thanksgiving, with the new travel restrictions based on COVID and spacing and whatnot? So we put this out to Edcot, and usually our listener responses are huge in this group. This one was actually relatively modest, and I realize, because there's not a lot of tips to be given right now because not a lot of people have boarded airplanes. So hence, my travel expert is joining us today. But we did have some good tips, and we want to make sure we read these off. So how about if I go first, and we'll just knock these out, sure, and then we'll get into the regular part of the show. Sounds good?
Absolutely. Sure, let's do it.
All right, so Jeremy Murray, I have huge flying anxiety. Before my kid was born, I would do a few shots in the airport bar and put on my superpowers. These days, I make sure I have a movie or show loaded up on my phone and some snacks. So the old shots at the airport bar, Jeremy. Gotcha.
That's right. And some of them do not adhere to local serving laws. So even if you're there for an early morning flight, I think some places it's 8 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So,
yep.
But yep.
Behave yourself, Jeremy.
Hey, you know, whatever helps calm the nerves, right?
So, yep.
Tracy Pizzuto McCoy says, choose a flexible airline and one that is strictly following safety protocols. Very good tip. Very good tip, by the way, Tracy.
And Jesse, who is your airline carrier of choice? Do you have a separate one for work and for like Florida, or who is your carrier of choice?
So actually, if I can swing it, I always prefer Delta over all of them. But I will tell you this right now. I think that let's put it this way. If I travel for my company, I love doing Delta. I do.
Right.
I think Delta does a really good job with protocol and cleanliness. But and even before COVID, I really have always felt very well taken care of with Delta. But Southwest is right there. Southwest is not only considered a value airline, it's probably the best value when you talk about two checked bags per person.
Yeah.
We're talking $50, some airlines $75 for a checked bag, and you get two per person. Now, the one, you know, and we can go into this later why I like Southwest, but yeah, Southwest Delta.
So. For sure. And in your family, you have four in your family. I have five. Yep. And should the Nymans ever fly, the Nymans have, you know, six in their family. That's a lot of baggage fees hitting you. So I get that point too. Maureen Hamill, and I apologize, Maureen, if I screw this up. Lorkey says, I think it helps anxiety to fly first thing in the morning. Also have something to enjoy while you're on the plane, like a movie on your phone or a book you're looking forward to. Great tip about the morning flight, because if you're awake and you're milling around the house and you're packing, that just gives more time for your anxiety to build, especially if you're not comfortable in that situation. So great tip about getting out early.
Yes.
More like jumping in the pool, you know, right at the deep end, right at the start, you know, just
right.
Knock it out.
Yeah. And she makes a good point about having their phone later to have a movie loaded up on the phone. And I will say this, Wi-Fi is not included with flights. I think that there are only a handful of ways to have free Wi-Fi, and it's carrier specific. For instance, if you're flying Delta, if you have T-Mobile as your provider, then you do get free Wi-Fi. But outside of that, there are different rules on different airlines, but it's expensive. We're talking $12.95 per leg, you know, just for a certain amount of time. So definitely download that movie to your iPhone or show. If you're, you know, not going to be on a plane that actually has one of the in-seat entertainment systems where you can watch a movie. So
great tip. Mm-hmm. All right. You're up with Monica's.
So Monica says, I have horrible travel anxiety in general and flying makes it worse. Some form of breathing exercises will help. I also use essential oils. In particular, I make a blend called Liquid Xanax. The recipe can be found on Pinterest. The blend has changed my life in a big way. It definitely brings my anxiety down within minutes. Also, I make sure I'm distracted the entire flight with the seat TV from takeoff to landing. Hope this helps.
I think Jeremy Murray also uses Liquid Xanax, but it comes from the airport bar. I'm just going to say that as well. JJP says, I don't fly. I got nothing. So short and sweet. There you go. Okay.
Well, my buddy Rick Forbes says, I agree with Jeremy Murray about having something downloaded on your phone or tablet and a good set of headphones. Yes, that's another thing, because, again, another thing that's not included or free, unless you're flying first class or Delta Comfort, they'll offer those reusable ones. But you might want to have just a good pair of headphones, just because I have a nice noise canceling pair too. I like to take on flights just because it's nice to not hear anything else. So,
you know what? That's a great tip. And you make a great point, because when you're in an airplane, it's loud. It's louder than you think it's going to be. Mm-hmm. So if you pop in those $8 Panasonics you just bought on Amazon, you know, because you think it's going to be a good solution for you, you're going to hear a lot of disturbance and a lot of distraction. So yeah, invest. I mean, studio headphones, if you're watching YouTube, I mean, these aren't super great quality, but you can find a good pair for $25, $20.
Yep.
Now, if you want some Bose noise canceling ones or Sony, it's going to cost you $80 to $300, let's be honest, but it's worth its money back, like multifold. When you're on the airplane, you can hit bing and you know you're
good. Oh, yes.
So worth
it. Yep. Very nice.
Kevin Curtis Allen, all the way from overseas. Okay, it's a good time to take your first flight. Most flights won't be full, and they will be the cleanest they've ever been. Great point, Kevin. I download lots of podcasts, music, films, anything you enjoy sitting down watching, listening to normally. So that's a great point, too. It's the airlines won't be any cleaner than they are right now. The emphasis on that is insane as far as, I mean, I even saw, was it Spirit? The guy that has the machine that goes down the center aisle and the arms swing out and it's like that ultraviolet blue light that is like killing us. Yes. Like, that would have never even been considered 6 months ago or a year ago. Now it's going to be, you know, it's going to be almost required on all the airplanes pretty soon. So
I think if you look at the positive coming out of this and it being the optimistic after all of this has happened, I'm telling you, it's cleaner than you could ever imagine. Yeah. I mean, you walk on and you know that they've taken extra time to clean the, you know, just the fuselage, you know, like all over. And not only as soon as you step on, I know this for Delta, and I know that other airlines are doing this as well. They're handing you a Purell wipe in a packet, and you take it and you wipe your area down. So like first, when I sit down, I wipe everything, the entertainment, the seat, the tray, everything. And they'll give you another one through the flight. Very clean. Again, airplanes were never this clean before. So it's really clean now.
Awesome. Yeah. Really, really reassuring.
So our friend Amy Van Swole says, I don't like flying, but I hate driving and I love to travel. So it's a necessary evil. I like to fly early in the morning. I chew gum while taking off and landing to avoid the pain in my ears from the pressure changes. Tip, don't blow bubbles with a mask on. I watch a movie on my tablet. If they are a person of size, don't be afraid to ask for a seatbelt extender. They really help. Wear shoes you can easily slide on and off when going through security. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful points. Amy, very good points. Because I'll tell you this, the first time I ever flew, Chris, you know, I actually was, I was still in college when I flew for my first time. So I was kind of, you know, I think 20 years old when I boarded an airplane, 21. And I got horrible sinus pressure when I flew my first time. I had no idea. And so you'll see when you get into, when you sit down where you're at, above you, there will be air. Turn that on. Breathe in that air. Depressurize.
So I've heard two schools of thought about that. Is first off, do you really want to have that air blowing on your face as far as viruses and whatnot? But then you realize that air, Jesse, that's gone through like double HEPA filters.
Yeah. Yep.
And that air is cleaner than like the air you breathe when you're just walking outside in your neighborhood. So yes. Yeah. So I've heard it both ways. It's like we need like the Mythbusters on like airline industry, you know, to understand what to do. But I did hear that goes through like multiple HEPA air filters for purification and then airline. You know.
Yeah. There's some really good articles out there that you can check out. I know and if I can remember where to link it, I will. I read a really interesting article about they were doing like the chance of infection now by breathing that air, being on an airplane, as opposed to being in a grocery store. And it was almost three times higher in a grocery store than being in an airplane. And I was thinking, wow, I mean, but you think about it, it's filtered cabin air. It's not, you know, it's not just recycled. So if that makes sense, well, it's recycled, you know what I mean?
I get
it's
you.
Not just like somebody's breathing it, you're breathing it. So
it's constantly moving and going through a purification process. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. John Kroll, two things that work for me. Number one, think about the statistics and how safe flying is compared to the other modes of transportation. So very true. Number two, always remember airports as one of the places it's never too early to have an adult beverage. There's a lot of people getting liquored up before their flights. I'm just going to throw it out there right now. So yeah, good idea, John. In Chicago's Midway Airport, we fly out usually in our trips at like 6 in the morning or 7 in the morning. And God love them if those airport bars don't have a whole bunch of people in those airport bars that time of the day. So I never judge because I realize this is it's a serious thing. John Madden from the NFL, John Madden from the video game world, obviously former coach of the Los Angeles and Oakland Raiders. He never could fly. He was famous for taking the Madden Cruiser all around the U.S. because he could never get past that fear of flying. Mm-hmm. So he had his own personal RV drive him from location to location. So hey, at the end of the day, whatever you need to do to make yourself feel safe, it's cool. You know,
absolutely. So. Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that at all.
All right, buddy.
So let's go. Tyler Lee, a good friend, says, quick question. Fear of flying or fear of contracting COVID-19 or both? I mean, there's, you know, when you talk about this nowadays, you're going to have people that might not fly, like you were just saying, because of like John Madden, that it's not about COVID. It's about the anxiety of actually being on the airplane and being taken up in the air.
Yeah.
So definitely, you know, don't downplay that all. I think right now, you know, the emphasis is on COVID more so than the anxiety of actual flying. Mm-hmm. Just because people right now, they're questioning, am I safe? Can I step onto an airplane without having to fear actually contracting?
Yeah.
And again, I'm thoroughly impressed with how clean the process was, a loading, boarding, and offloading. So I'll talk about that a little bit more when, you know, down the show. So,
and I don't want to speak for this person, but based on the fact that you're right, the COVID is the new concern, that I think this is rooted more in just the whole process of simply starting off driving in the car, parking the car, getting through TSA, showing your boarding pass. It just, there is, on any given trip, there's 38 steps, none of which can be done until step one occurs. And step three cannot be done until step two occurs. And everything right. has to happen in unified, organized fashion for the trip to be successful. Yep. So, Chris Walker, number one, plan in advance, learn what you can and cannot pack or carry on. Then plan to be there early. Great tip about being there early. Number two, check as you get closer to takeoff every day for changes in the restrictions. Overall, wear your mask and then just go with the flow. And that's all predicated, Chris was right, on being there early. If anything happens, there's a lot of the ills that can happen on a travel vacation can be overcome with time. And, you know, if you're there and you've got 48 minutes till your flight leaves and you know you've cut it short and you turn the corner to the TSA line and it's about 80 or 90 people long, oh, that anxiety pit gets really, really big really quickly on you. So make sure you're there plenty of time. With too much time, I would say, because there's all these cool things to do at your airports. You've got stores.
Absolutely.
You got shops. You got the promenade to walk down. Yeah, there's always things to do.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, the key there. You talk about plan in advance. One of those things is, you know, yeah, you definitely want to give yourself plenty of time, but I would even say planning on the flight schedule you're choosing, because sometimes you might find a really good deal on a flight and it might have a very quick turn for your layover. So airports are not created equally. You know, when you small out of a smaller regional airport into a bigger international airport, you know, it's concourse to concourse. I mean, for instance, Detroit Airport is basically just one long, giant concourse area, but it's a mile from one end to the next. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could take a tram. It's crazy. And if you don't give yourself plenty of time, you know, when you're flying in, you might miss your connecting flight if there's any type of delay on a tarmac or, you know, for whatever reason, whether they land but they can't park the plane and actually unload you. Those are things I always try to give myself at the very least, an hour in my layover. So
great point. You're up with Rick.
All right. So let's see. So Rick again. Hi, Rick again. He says, we took prepackaged snacks and kept them in Ziploc baggies for easily removal during security check. It was recommended but not required to remove all snacks. Slip-on shoes make it easier as well. There's another person that says slip-on shoes. Very good point. If you have Crocs, I'm a fan of Crocs. Yes, they might not look the best, but they're very comfortable. Remember not to pack lithium batteries in your checked luggage. You will hear that announcement so many times in an airport, by the way. They must be carry-on. Regular batteries are okay in either type of luggage. My kids did build a droid. We were able to carry them on with their backpacks, but they did need to be removed. Anything electronic larger than a cell phone needs to be removed, because you will have to send that through the scan at the security belt. Mm-hmm. He says also no limits on luggage. Allegiant is 40 pounds versus 50 pounds for Southwest. Another great point. Get a luggage scale and remember to take it with you. I might know someone who had to buy an extra suitcase last week for souvenirs.
Yeah, we all been there before, Rick. You know, you just got to say no. But when you're down there, it's so easy to say yes. And then you assemble all your goods to pack it up at home. And you look over at your wife and you say, oh, I did bad because this is not going to fit. So I've been there. Carly Positano says, Tito's, make it a double.
There we go. So
a little bit of liquid courage there. So, yeah, you know, and I realized that was the end of the comments. And, you know, usually we'd have four or five times that many. But because of this COVID, no one has flown. So that's why you're on today. So you fly all over the country for your business and you fly to Florida as well, too. So let's just say I've got let's start off with this. How about a person that may not fly or may have never flown? Give me some tips that can get me. I'll do some tips getting him to the airport. But talk about like the moment you enter the doors of the airport. Give me some tips that he could take away from there.
Absolutely. So there are a couple things I would say. If you're flying for the first time and you're headed to the airport, first of all, like I would like to say, you know, in the schedule and the planning of those trips, if it's your first time, one high recommendation that I would give you, and I know this is not possible for everybody based on number one, schedule, and two, price. I would highly recommend a nonstop flight if you can get one, even if you have to pay more. That will take some of the anxiety out of it because, again, just the anxiety of landing at a bigger airport and having to move, you know, because like you can land in, say, A concourse and you might be flying out of F concourse. So you have to navigate the airport. So then you have to know where to go. You have to get there. But fast forward, let's say you've bought your plane ticket, you get to the airport. Some things that, you know, were mentioned in the comments a couple times, wear easily removable shoes. You know, if you can wear an outfit without a belt, so you don't have to take it off, gentlemen, and put it into security.
And the reason for this, so everyone understands, if you've not flown before, is when you get to the airport, you have to go through the line for TSA. And they're going to check out your identification. So on the list of approved things for TSA, you need your driver's license or a passport card. There's a variety of things. You know, just check out the TSA site. It's tsa.gov /travel. And there's a variety of things you can use identification. But you're going to have to go and have your bag screened. So as an adult, you need to take your shoes off. And if you're wearing anything metal, they're going to have you empty your pockets. You're going to have you remove your belt. You're going to place it in a bin. It's going to go through a scanner, and they're going to check it out. They're going to go and you've ever seen like the movies where like they can literally see inside with like the spy binoculars. They're going to check your stuff out. So anything metal, and when you go through it, they may wand you, or you may go into the device where it does the radiation, and you have to kind of stand there. Of course, he just heard radiation, so he's like, "What?" Yep. They're going to do an X-ray. Then you're going to have to reclaim your baggage, and you're going to have to feel like pressured to put it on fast because everyone behind you is getting their baggage. So if you brought your Nike high tops, if anyone still wears them, you know, with like 9 laces in them, it's a process putting your belt back on. It's a process collecting your change. It's a process getting your bags. If you're flying with your daughter, your son, your wife, your mom, they've all got to do the same thing. So make that easy on yourself. And remember, it's not a fashion contest. You want to be comfortable for the next 3 hours of your life.
And give yourself time.
Yeah.
Give yourself time. And I mean that because, you know, unless you're flying out of a very small regional airport where there's just not going to be a lot of people at any given time, you still, I mean, Chris, I speak to this because I'll tell you one of the least favorite airports I like to fly out of is O'Hare, and I apologize. I know that's near you, but the security lines get so long there. And same thing with like Orlando, Atlanta, your bigger airports, because you have a lot of people flying, your security lines can get very, very long. So some things I would also tell you is consolidate. If you have a bag that you're going to be putting through security screening, you're going to have to take your cell phone out. You're going to have to take your wallet out. You're going to have to take in your keys, any change, things like that, anything loose. You can't have anything in your pockets when you go through the screener. So I always take off my belt, my wallet, everything before I even get past the area where you put this stuff into a bin. I put it into my book bag. I put all of that into my book bag so I'm ready to go. The only thing I have to do is take my shoes off, put it up on the belt, take my computer. You'll have to take your computer out of the bag. If you're carrying an iPad, you have to take it out of the bag and put it into a tray. So those are things that you want to think about as you're going through security. And again, you'll go through, they might stop you, they might ask you based on your clothing. So the other thing I would also say is, you know, be careful about your choice of clothing. You know, if you're wearing really, really baggy clothing, there's folds in there. And what can happen is, it can have like a false positive or something on their screening. So they'll stop you and they'll wand you or they'll do a pat. So I always try to wear like more form fitting, something that is not going to like bunch up, you know, and I'm a bigger guy. So like, you know, I don't already have that problem. Right. So, so if you have anything baggy, those are things you want to keep in mind. So you don't feel pressured, because if you get there and there's a long security line and you have to go through, now, I'll tell you, I've been one of those guys that's had incidents where I've gotten to the airport really late and had to run up and say, hey, excuse me, can I pass you? And I mean, these people look at you like they're going to kill you because you're trying to get past them, but you're desperate because you're trying to make your flight, right? But give yourself time.
Yeah, so. And if it's your first time, for sure, err on the side of caution, no doubt about that. Chris Walker had that idea, and I'll just reiterate that. Do a little bit of research on the TSA site. Know how big of a bottle you can bring as far as hand sanitizer. Know what you can bring. You got your favorite pocket knife, you're going to be forfeiting your favorite pocket knife. You know, yep. So know what you can and cannot bring. I know it sounds like it's common sense, but there have been times I've walked into a theme park and on my key ring, I've got, you know, like a 12-in-1 tool. And it was like, oh man, I got to either walk back like 8 minutes to the car or I just turn it over. And that happens. I see that at TSA all the time where it's like, you can't bring this on the plane. And they're like, what do I do? You give it to me and you never see it again. So just bear in mind that happens. Also, look at your keys. What key do you absolutely need to leave your house, get in your car, and then re-enter your house? Those are the only keys you should bring on vacation. All your work keys should stay home. All your auxiliary keys for your house, those should stay home. Only take the core essentials that you need to re-enter the house. Besides that key ring, we're guys. All of our key rings are just way too dang big anyway. So make your life easy and simplify that process. And only take the absolute core essentials.
And I'll tell you another one of my favorite tips. And I've done this. I do this all the time when I fly. Just because I don't always remember. If you are driving and not Ubering to an airport, you're going to have to park, right? Well, there's multiple levels of parking. There's multiple places. There's long-term parking, short-term parking, you know, parking up high, parking down low, wherever. And there's, you know, levels, premium parking. Wherever you park, you're going to have to remember where you parked. I always take a picture with my cell phone and text it to myself so that it's in my texts. So I always text where I park so that you know. If I'm parking in D8, lower level 3, I take a picture. Like I text it to myself or take the picture because I don't want to lose where I park.
That's a great tip. I was going to compare, just for comparison's sake, and say, hey, so I fly out of Midway because Midway is the Southwest Airlines provider in Chicago. So when we fly to Midway, we park off-site at a secured covered parking garage that includes like a free shuttle transportation. And then when we leave, it's very clean. They give us bottles of water. They give us a newspaper. It's really nice. It cost me about $14 a day, but it's worth it. So I was going to use Chicago, but then I realized to actually park at the airport at Midway, it's like $35 a day. It's stupid expensive, and it's nothing special. So the next big city that I looked at was just simply Indianapolis. So I just took Indianapolis's parking. They have off-site parking in Indianapolis. If you wanted to, you could drive your car from your house to this parking lot and just park your car. They'll give you a 24-hour-a-day shuttle and shuttle you right to the departures where you would go and get your boarding pass or whatnot and enter TSA, and you're good to go. Or Indianapolis, as I say it with a grr because it's cheaper, there are five levels of parking at Indianapolis, and each airport has this. If it's not the one in North Carolina by you, I mean, every place has this. So economy parking at the airport, $9 a day, flat fee. Park and walk, $14 a day. Terminal garage, a maximum of $20 a day. Premium self-park, $27 a day. Or valet, which is more expensive, but valet is not operational right now, is the touch point. They're not doing that right now. But my tip was, if you live in a bigger city, it's sometimes really affordable for you to go to the off-site and take the shuttle as opposed to parking at the airport. Because sometimes those locations at the airport, which say, ooh, park at the North Carolina airport, yeah, it's like a 12-minute walk to the shuttle, and then it's a 25-minute shuttle ride, and it would have been closer for you to park off-site than sometimes on-site, especially when you talk about big old guys like O'Hare Airport in Chicago, which is, you know, in Atlanta's Hartsfield, you know? So, yeah, it's important to know which is closest, so.
Absolutely. I agree with that point, Chris. I would say, actually, my family, we do use that option when we fly personal. If we're going down to Walt Disney World, going to Orlando, we use, I think the service is called Fast Park, and you reserve your parking spot online.
Yeah, that's what I use too.
It's like $8 a day, which is really nice. But what's really great is they pick you up at your parking spot and they drop you off at the airport. Then you go to the location they tell you to for pickup when you're coming back. And they drop you right back off at your car. So you're not walking through a parking garage.
At your car is the best
point.
There.
It is a very, very friendly service. Very, you know, and I know there's different, Fast Park is just one of many, but very good idea. And, it, you know, ultimately doesn't really add a lot of time to your whole parking and driving. Because I've done long-term parking, economy parking that's offered by the airport. And like you said, you have to wait for those shuttle buses to come. And you know, you could be standing there for a little bit of time, and you did not give yourself time. I mean, that's another stress point. You're thinking, okay, we got to go.
Correct.
So definitely think about that.
Depending on the time of the year too, don't be cheap in terms of this. If you're flying out and you live in the north of the Mason-Dixon line in the States, don't be afraid to upgrade and pay for the covered parking, because we have flown back many times to find our vehicle snowed and iced in. And you know what? You're not dressed for that. You just came back from Florida. I may not even have a coat because I didn't want to lug that coat around with me. My van is about 4 degrees. It barely turns over, and now I got to shovel the car out. So don't be afraid to pay that extra money. It's so worth it when you can just turn the car on and there's nothing to shovel off. So
absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely. Good tip.
All right. We're through TSA. What's your next tip here? So I've got a new traveler. What would be your tip before he actually gets to the gate? Do you have anything for them?
So I think one of the things you might want to do, especially right now before you get to the gate, is if you go through, if you got to go to the restroom, you're going to pass plenty of restrooms. Like, the airports are going to have them right through the gate too. So don't feel like once you're past the gate, you're in trouble. No, they have restrooms inside. You know, they're going to have, you know, like you were talking about earlier, restaurants, shops, things like that, where you can go get something to eat, Starbucks, that type of thing, because you can't carry liquid through TSA. So if you've got a bottle of water you're drinking, you've got to drink it before you get to TSA line, before you go through the screener. They will make you throw it out, that you cannot take any liquid above the 3 ounces that are allowed in your little carry-on bag for, say, your, you know, hair gel or deodorant spray, whatever. So definitely, if you're, you know, you want to go ahead and get your waters and stuff as you walk on through, instead of going down and setting your stuff down, because you can't leave your stuff unattended, and you don't want to, right? I mean, you're in the airport. So I always find it easier to get that stuff on the way to my seat instead of going to stake my seat. Just because I definitely, you know, like to just go set and be ready for the plane, or go, you know, sometimes I just stand, but yeah, definitely grab that stuff on the way. Yes. So instead
of, if you're flying at a major airport too, there's more than likely you have a well-known chain. Feel free to research what you have at your airport and get a gift card. Because let's say you're flying with your kids, and I know Hudson News is the big like airport like newsstand. Hudson News amazingly does not have gift cards, which I always thought was crazy because I would be buying my family Hudson News gift cards to make that little experience even a little more special at the airports. But yeah. Mickey D's or Starbucks, or there's a variety of things. Don't be afraid to go and get a gift card. And if you're flying with kids or your wife, you know what? It gives them something to look forward to if there is anxiety before the plane. I love shopping at the airport. I'm like duty free. I'm like all over it, you know? And even though, so like shop and like, don't be afraid to like buy something. If it costs you $5 or $7, the search and the time consuming on the search is well worth not having that anxiety for that 30 minutes, 45 minutes of you walking down the concourse. So don't be afraid to say, yes, well, here's a reward. Let's go and buy like two Snickers bars, which is about $7 at the, at the airport, you know?
Oh, No doubt. I love that point. In fact, there are some things I only eat when I'm flying. Like if I'm at a certain airport, for instance, I fly through Atlanta a lot because that's the big Delta hub. And, Atlanta has six different concourses actually. Mm-hmm. Not everything is on the same concourse. And if you're going from A concourse down to E, you might want to stop at C and go to Chick-fil-A there. You might want to stop at B and go hit Five Guys, burger and fries, you know. Yeah. But there's also some really good restaurants in these places too. So if you look at that and know, there's some great places to eat. Like, I don't know if you've ever had a Chef Bobby Flay's Burger Palace. There's a Burger Palace in Atlanta, you know. But those are things you might want to keep in mind. Now, I will say, with COVID, even some of those places are limited in what they're serving. Five Guys was not open, which was kind of sad for me because I love Five Guys. Actually, Starbucks. There was only one Starbucks open, and it was all the way in Concourse F.
Wow!
But I had plenty of time, so I actually went to Concourse F.
There you go.
Walked half mile to get the iced coffee and then walked back. Right. So definitely think about that too, because like you said, Chris, it gives you something to look forward to if you want to get something to eat. And these places serve breakfast, lunch, dinner. Unless you've got a red eye flight, pretty much everything's going to be open when you're there. And there's pastry places, coffee places, just about anything you can think of. Newsstands. I think what Philadelphia Airport has like a little mini mall inside of it, which is incredible. Yeah. I got laid over there 8 hours one time, so I walked that thing. So.
Madrid Airport, I had the pleasure of once. It's the biggest airport on the planet. Literally, it's like a 45-minute walk from our gate to the other gate. But it's like, wow, a mall inside there. So you could spend the entire day just shopping. But I wanted to give a tip, and I don't know if this person has kids or not, but something I didn't do but I saw later on and I thought was a great idea. If you're flying with kids and it's your first flight, stop off at a gift shop and look in the back. You'll find like a little area with toys and things. Every carrier has got a die-cast version of their plane. Southwest does, American does, Delta does. And it might cost you $10 or $12. But if you buy it at that airport, I guarantee that toy is going to be in the toy box forever. Because, honestly, I didn't fly. I think I might have flown later than you, Jesse. I might have flown when I was about 24 or 25 in my first flight. That flights aren't a given for people. It takes time, it takes money, and it takes, especially if you're anxious about this, it might be the only flight they ever take. Give a really cool souvenir and a memory of that flight, and a little die-cast plane will always be a memory that you're boarding something like this. So don't be afraid to spend, a little bit of money right there.
Absolutely. That's a great tip.
All right. So we're at our gate, right? We went through and we got our boarding pass. The boarding pass says B25. And we look up and we see the path goes in three different directions, A, B, and C. B starts here at gate 1 and then 2 on the left side. So we know we've got a long walk all the way to get to B25. And we're just paying attention to the overhead signs. Now we're at our gate and we got about 40 minutes to the plane boards. What do you do at this point for 40 minutes, Jesse?
So I'll tell you what I do, or what I like to do. A couple things. Airport's a great place to read. Take your book. Mm-hmm. I like to do that. Listen to a podcast. You know, like definitely have that on your phone already. So you'll see that right there. Or you'll catch me eating and listening to a podcast.
Yes.
But I usually try to, one thing, you know, I try to make sure is I, you know, pull out, make sure I got everything ready, you know, like for when they board you. So like, you're going to want to make sure you have your ticket out. You know, you just kind of look at stuff. Nowadays, like the easiest thing to do is not even have the paper ticket, but just have it on your app. You can download the boarding pass right on your phone. If you're an Apple iOS user, they have the wallet app where you can just add it to your wallet. It's automatically there. You just walk up, scan it, you're on the plane. I always try to get that kind of stuff ready, you know.
Gotcha.
You know, just so I'm sitting there.
24 hours in advance of most airlines, you can almost, I would say maybe Delta's different, where you get an assigned seat. But if I was flying Southwest, let's say you're flying Southwest at this point, 24 hours in advance, you're allowed to get your boarding pass. So you're going to log on 24 hours before that flight leaves. You're going to go and hit register your family, hit the button, and you'll find out like 93 other families are doing it at the exact same time. Yeah. And you're boarding group B60 or B58, which means you're all the way at the end of the second one. So that's when you're going to board the plane. A1 goes first, A10, A20, A35, A60. Great. Now B's start. And then that's where you're going to go and board the plane. You also have the option of selecting your seat ahead of time for a fee. If you're flying with a little one and you were at your gate early, 40 minutes early, you want to go and find your gate agent. And you want to say, do you have something called family boarding? Family Yes. boarding allows you the opportunity to board a plane with Southwest between the A group and the B group. So you get this cool opportunity to board the plane before anybody else. Now, it only applies when your kid's like 8 years old or less, or 9 years old or less. So check Southwest if you're flying Southwest. Check their restriction. But no matter what your boarding pass says, you could be C60, the last person on the plane, doesn't matter. You get bumped to family boarding, which is between the A's and the B's. And that's super valuable as you get to go and sit together. Now,
yes.
Let's say you're flying, Allegiant Air, and they don't have that. If you talk to the gate agent, there's almost a 100% chance that you've got an 8-year-old, you're going to be seated together. Because frankly, Jamie, frankly, anybody, frankly, Stacy, frankly, Jesse, I don't necessarily want to sit next to your kids on the plane. I want you to sit next to your kids because they might go to me and say, sir, can I, no, I don't want to ask that question. I just want to relax because I'm already nervous. Talk to your dad. So there's a really good chance that they will seat you guys together and make an accommodation for you. So anybody with a kid, if you don't have a kid, we're not worried about that. But if you do, that is a reality right there. So
we actually used this last summer. Our daughter was still 6 at the time. She's 7 now. And I think Southwest aged at 6 now for the family boarding. Okay. But anybody with your family can board with, you know, so it's like, you know, it was great because, you know, it takes that anxiety about, you know, like you were saying of, you know, because with Southwest, you don't have a pre-assigned seat. You go on and pick what's available. Mm-hmm. So that kind of took out that, you know, worry. Am I going to get split up, separated? But like you said, most airline carriers are going to offer something similar to that. If not, you know, you'll hear that they'll say families that need extra time to board.
Yes.
Usually that's, you know, smaller children, they go on because they want you to get on and get us situated so they can get everybody on there faster too. So it works both ways, right? Like, you know, they're wanting to accommodate everybody by giving the family extra time to board. I would also say if you are somebody who has extra care need, you know, if you are, you know, you have a mobile device, a mobility device that you need to move around, they're going to give you extra time to board. Mm-hmm. They're going to give you that time before, regardless if you're boarding group 900, you know, because it can seem like that. It can seem like there's a bunch of boarding zones. The other thing too is a lot of airlines will honor active and retired U.S. military. So that's also a great thing. So if you served and you know, listen for that,
great.
Because then you can get on and get seated. So
yeah,
awesome.
That's a great tip. Are you, so when you're on a plane, and again, my frame of reference is a few carriers, but Southwest mainly, there's a center aisle, there's 3 seats to the left, and there's three seats to the right. You've got the window, you got the dreaded middle, and you've got the aisle seat. You've got the front, middle, and back of the plane. So given your druthers, where are you sitting, front, middle, or back, Jesse, at this point?
I like to get as close to the front as I can.
Okay.
I am a front flyer, and I'll tell you why. I just like to get off the plane faster than a lot of people. So, you know, that actually, and I know, I mean, I've ridden in the very back. I've ridden on the wing part. I haven't ridden on top of the plane. That's the only place I haven't ridden, right? But
yet.
Yeah, that's right. You know, but you know, I think things like that do matter. And you do have to, you know, depending on your airline carrier, you're going to be relegated to what seats you can select ahead of time if you do have seat selection. So you, for instance, there are preferential seating now. This is a new category that just came up on Delta about a year ago.
Okay.
It used to be a lot of people would choose the exit row because the exit row has more room for your legs. So I was always one of those people who loved the exit row. Then they made it preferential seating. And so then you either had to have a certain status to fly to get that,
gotcha,
or you had to pay $14 more to sit in that seat. So, but they also, you know, like some carriers, you know, obviously first class might be the most common thing that you would know for an upgraded flight, but business class, they have Delta Comfort for Delta. You know, the different airlines do offer this. Now, Southwest, again, that's completely first come, first serve. The only thing that you can do with Southwest, and Chris, you might know this, is you can pay to get priority selection for your
sure,
to check in. So you're guaranteed an A spot. So you're on an A list. So that just gives you a better selection for that.
Well, we've always had the family boarding up to right now. And even in family boarding, we were a rarity. With my family, we always went to the back of the plane because a lot of times at those 6 a.m. flights, they're not full.
Nope.
So if they're not full and you're in the back of the airplane, three people are sitting on one side and two are sitting on the other. And if the plane's not full, people don't like to walk to the back of the airplane. You had a better chance of spreading out in the back of the plane or not having someone sit in the middle seat, you know, because they're like, okay, I want to sit as close to the front as possible. So we always just naturally gravitated. Plus, we were closest to the bathroom because, frankly, I had a four-year-old.
She had to use the bathroom.
And if I wanted extra snacks or extra drinks, I was closest to the person that could provide them for me. So after they make their service to you, nowadays they're just literally throwing you a water and a bag of peanuts and like that's it right now. They're not offering you drink service, but in a time when there isn't a situation, would you mind, could I get an extra 7-Up? And she's right there and she's like, sure, here you go. So there was a reason, a method behind my madness of sitting behind the plane. Now, what always irks me, and I don't know if it's you, and maybe it's not because you're in the front. As soon as the plane lands, everyone, of course, puts their phones off airline mode. You have to put your phone on airplane mode before it takes off.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone stands up in this crazy, like, cattle rush to get their luggage from the overhead bin. But it's inevitable. It's a traffic jam. You're not going anywhere, people, until passenger A1 leaves the plane. You're passenger 47. I guarantee you're not getting off any earlier than passenger A1 and then A2 and then B1 and then B2. So, yeah, I've always wondered, why do you do that?
So it's a common, you know, like, it's funny because it's like an airline etiquette, right? It's kind of like the unspoken rule amongst people that fly a lot. But you'll see every once in a while, you'll see somebody, they pop up right before the seatbelt sign comes up and they rush to the front because they do not want to wait in that line getting out. Because especially if you're in row 40, you know, you're going to be sitting there for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get up and go. Now, I will mention this, Chris, that one thing that airlines are doing that's really different than what's happened before is they are doing a load from back to front when you're getting onto the airplane.
Okay.
This is something I've always said, I wish they would do this. I wish that they would load people in the back by your row instead of doing it by the people in, you know, from the zones. So for instance, if you were zone one or main one, that you got extra time to board as opposed to somebody who's in zone four.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be based on your airline status, a credit card status, whatever you do to get that. But during COVID now, what they're doing is they're loading. So they'll load the only people that can go on outside of your family boarding, your military, outside of those special boarding needs. They're letting first class people board whenever. And then what they're doing is they're loading from the back to the front. So they, if you're row 50, they're saying, okay, rows 50 through 40, you can go. Then they're doing, you know, 39 to 30, go, that type of thing. And I'll tell you what, it was faster loading than it has been before. Good. And I think that's great. But the reverse of that is if you were first on the plane, you're going to be last off the plane.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just know that. That's going to be. So again, that takes that into consideration. If you're doing a tight turn layover, you want to make sure you get as close to the front of the plane as you can possibly get, because you do not want to have to wait in that line, because sometimes even an extra 5 minutes is going to help you, because there are people that miss their connecting flight, and that is not a pleasant experience.
Yeah, for sure. So I know I still want to get to on the plane, and then when the plane lands, so we're going to do this quickly. At least in my mind, before I take off, I'm very careful what I eat the day before, and the morning of a flight, I'm very careful. If it's something foreign to you, I know that spicy burrito sounds really good at the airport, but if you're going to board a plane for 3 hours or 4 hours, you just have to wonder how that's going to sit in your belly. And you know, the time for experimentation is not the next 3 or 4 hours. So I'm going to warn you on that. That bathroom is not good. So be careful on what you eat. Also, you want to drink water. You want to drink fluid, but everything you drink, it only has a short rental in your body. It is going to come out. So depends on how often you want to be getting up and walking down the aisle and going and peeing, frankly. So I would say consume liquids, but realize you got to be careful. Some people have problems with blood clots in their legs, so they need to wear, you know, the special compression socks. But don't be afraid if you know you're prone to that to stand up. And when they say, you know, the air belt sign, the seatbelt sign goes off, walk up and back a little bit. You're not bothering people. It's your life. I mean, no one's going to care. No one's going to remember you after the plane lands. But, you know, having that develop in your leg is paralyzing. So just some brief tips on the plane. Now, we're landed, Jesse, and you've got checked baggage. What are you thinking, like, when you depart this plane? How are you going to get there? What are you going to do?
So the best thing you can do, as soon as you get off your airplane and you walk up the ramp back into the airport where you're at, you're automatically going to see, and I don't think that there's an airport out there still that doesn't have this, but now they have screens, monitors that are going to show you where you need to go. But they also are going to have signs, and I'm telling you, you cannot miss the signs. You just follow the signs. They're going to tell you baggage claim and ground transportation. It's going to be plastered everywhere.
Yeah.
And if you're flying down to Orlando International, not to make fun of anybody, you would literally have to be blind in order not to see the signs to get to where you need to go.
For sure.
If you're going to Magic Express, it's plastered. I mean, like, you don't need an iPhone to guide yourself. Just follow the signs. It's a very easy navigational point. Because sometimes you're going to have to get, like, you're landing in the concourse, you know, you might have to take a tram over to the different concourse where ground, you know, baggage claim is. So you'll follow those signs. I promise you, it's very easy process. You don't have to feel anxiety about that. Most of the time, just follow the people in front of you. They're going to the same place.
Yep.
So
remember what plane. You remember the flight number, because sometimes if you land, let's say you're flying in from Philadelphia, there might be 5 flights landing in a 20-minute period, 30-minute period from Philadelphia, so to speak. And you're like, well, were we on flight 1197? No, we were flight 1701. And all of a sudden, you've forgotten which one, because each one might go to a different baggage carousel. So remember which flight you were on. Oh, we're on carousel 3. Okay, it's over 3. There, that's our luggage. Because unless you have really unique luggage, your luggage looks like my luggage, which looks like Jesse's luggage, which looks like everybody else's luggage in America. So remember which carousel, which flight you were on.
I would give you here's just a funny tip about your baggage too, by the way. I have a friend that uses a huge tag that says fragile, and he puts it on his bag every single time he flies. Because, and actually, I I know this too. Once upon a time, I used to actually load baggage onto airplanes, and anything that was marked fragile got put on last. So it's taken off first and then sent to the belt.
Dang, so look at that tip.
So, you know, just I don't personally use that, you know, but I have a friend that does it, and he swears by it. So
fragile, huh? Very good.
Take it from my friend. So
nice. That's a great tip. Also, yeah. If you have the pleasure of flying into Orlando International Airport, you know, obviously it's not an old airport. It's an older airport. It's been around for a while. It's got a great history as a military airport and then a military base. And then, you know, it's got a great history. It is a absolute American treasure as far as shopping and experiencing things. You could practically spend a day there and go to all the stores. Disney's got a store there. Universal's got a store there. SeaWorld's got a store. NASA's got a store. They've got a million shops, Ron John, and they've got some great food options. They've got a chapel. They've got a variety of really cool things. They've got a hotel in the airport. And so it's a great sightseeing destination unto itself. So on your trip back, let's say you're flying out of, you know, Walt Disney World and the Magical Express, if there is Magical Express coming, don't be the guy that gives yourself an hour. Take some additional time, because it's really a cool experience flying out of MCO, and that's your first experience on a monorail. So you get to take the monorail tram shuttle over, listen to Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer welcome you to Central Florida. You know, you can see how these things embed all Walt Disney World travelers. So, all right. Yeah. So we got our luggage. And how about renting a car? Would you have any tips for renting a car at that point? Off-site, on-site, what would you do?
I always would recommend on-site. At least your return point on-site, just because that's going to make it easier. If you rent a car that's off-site, you have to take shuttles to get to where you're going in that point. Now, for instance, I can speak to Orlando International. Is a very easy airport to do a rental and a drop-off at, because you're literally just, a walking bridge across from where they house the rental cars. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. What you'll do is you head down the ground, the ground transportation area. You're going to stop by, get your baggage, and you're going to see signs. And there's a, it's like Rental Car Row.
I was just going to say Rental Car Row down there for sure.
Every type of rental car service you can think of is there at the airport. And they're right beside each other. You can rent from any one of those. And most of the time, if let's say you got there and you decided you didn't rent a car ahead of time, you can even do a walk up. They'll walk you in the reservation there. But very easy process because, you know, renting a car in a city that you're not familiar with can be very, stressful. I remember renting one when I flew to Seattle for a business conference, and the airport was, about a 30-minute drive from downtown based on traffic, everything else. And I wish that I would have paid the extra not to go, in part because, you know, these are things you consider. Do you want that headache of having to get the car back, make sure it's gassed up, or else they're going to charge you the full price for the full tank of gas, even if you use 10 gallons worth of gas. They're going to charge you for 20. So those are things you want to know and you want to think about, because there are airports where there's no choice. You've got to get off a shuttle. You have to get on a shuttle and you have to go off site to rent. So for instance, if you're flying out to Disneyland, into LAX instead of John Wayne or at Santa Ana or any of the other surrounding areas, you know, LAX, you're going off site to get your rental car. Yeah. They do not have any on site rental right there. So
they can't do it. Information for anybody renting a car too. If you fill up the night before and you just make your trip back and you make a direct route back to the airport, even though in theory you'd have gotten rid of 1 or 2 gallons of gas, you'd have consumed 1 or 2 gallons of gas, that is considered a full tank. You don't have to worry. So if you fill up the night before, provided that you're not making 4 or 5 different stops, but they will accept it as a full tank of gas. So,
sure. Yep.
Last tip I'd like to ask you. Do you have a rental car company of choice, or do you use an aggregate site, Kayak or Costco?
Sure.
What do you use, Jesse?
Sure, absolutely. I think, and I'll say this, I almost say it, rental car site is almost opposite of airline choice, in the sense of I don't think it's you're unless you're a loyalty customer at one of these big sites. Like for instance, I rent from Enterprise more than anybody else, but I've rented from Avis, I've rented from Budget, I've rented from Dollar. And I'll tell you, the experience is pretty much almost all the same. There are some perks to renting with different car rental agencies, but you know, price point's big. And then if you're just doing a value car to get from point A to point B, you know, save yourself some money. You know, usually you can do you know, Expedia booking for your car rental, that type of thing, packages. So if you're going to Universal, here's a good tip I would give you. Let's say you fly into Sanford, not MCO Airport, because sometimes it's cheaper. Like if you're going to be taking one of the value carriers down to Sanford, you might be able to get a $40 ticket from your point A destination to Orlando Sanford Airport. But you're 40 minutes from Disney, 45 minutes, not the 20 miles, whatever. So you're it's going to be more expensive to Uber, more expensive to do something. Mm-hmm. If you're driving Universal, you can actually rent a car. You could do a drop off, you know, a point A, point B drop off, and you can check that out because there are car rental sections inside the Universal hotels, and they use they actually use Avis as their preferred car rental, but Avis also owns Budget, I think. I'm blanking. I think it's Budget.
Yes.
I might need to fact check myself there. All right, so
I think you're right. I think I remember seeing that too.
So one of the good things is, you know, you can definitely set that up and do drop off point. So it actually might be cheaper for you to rent that car for just that day to drive it and drop it and not have to pay for parking.
Gotcha.
You know, through the week. So you just get yourself and save yourself the Uber.
Any experience with things like Fox Rent-A-Car or like Sixt or any of the low cost car rental companies? Because I've not gone that route. I rent only through the Costco travel site, and sure, they hold a major rental, and you're right, cost is everything, because they're all about the same unless you happen to have a business account, like you said. It's a great point, but I've always avoided, like, ooh, I don't know about that, I've never heard of that company, I'm afraid of having like 19 fees tacked onto it and whatnot. So
you do have to think about things like that. For instance, unlimited mileage, that's pretty standard across the big four car rental places. But if you start getting into those very budget car rental places, they might do a per gallon charge. They might say, okay, anything over 50, you're going to be charged X per mile, that type of thing. So more or less like Enterprise. And here's another big tip for you. If your insurance doesn't have a clause coverage in rental car, get the car rental insurance if you don't feel it covered, because I'm going to tell you this. You do not want to be stuck in an issue where you did not take the rental insurance. And I know that a lot of times people think, I don't need that, it's good. You go drive somewhere like Orlando, Chicago, those types of places. I'm telling you, that's going to matter. And you got to think about things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Great tip.
Definitely.
Great tip. I've been the person that was stuck on the side of the road multiple times. I have a history of car rental issues. So, okay. So I think we got you from the point where you might park to the point where you passed your TSA board on your flight. You've disembarked your flight and you've got your rental car. I think we're good. Anything else we've missed, Jesse, at this point?
No. You know, hey, I tell you, I can speak from just experience. Right now, if you're thinking about flying in 2021 and going to a destination and you're not entirely sure, a lot of the airlines right now have change for free policy, which is, you know, this is a typical benefit of Southwest Airline, but it's not a typical benefit of Delta or American or United. So if you're thinking about taking that trip and you're kind of worried, well, what if I buy that flight? You know, am I stuck on that flight? They're giving you that change waiver for free. Go ahead and get it, because I'm telling you, the prices on flights right now are fantastic. And you definitely, you know, you might have been saving to take that trip to Hawaii and you want to buy a flight for Hawaii. I'm telling you, Hawaii flights are expensive during normal times. It's still considerably more expensive than just a standard flight inside the continental US. But those are things to think about. You know, you can basically, it's peace of mind as far as like knowing I can change that flight if I need to.
Yeah.
And definitely, you know, right now is a great time to book it. And I would say this too, you know, like, consider this, you know, and you know, this is a podcast about a place that, a destination that we love to travel to and the travel industry. And, you know, it's just been hit so hard. So, you know, even something like doing that, taking that leap, and you're supporting that industry, I think, from all across the board, you know, even if you're buying that plane ticket to go to that destination, you know, right now, it's just, it's you know, it's tough for everybody, but we can take advantage of some of those spoils, right? You know, like the cheap flights, the clean flights, the very clean flights. And actually be able to utilize that and have a very good vacation in the future. So
my family of five historically flies round trip to Orlando from Chicago for about $1,500. That's the round trip flight. The other day I priced an airfare on Southwest for me alone, round trip direct, $89.96 total. And it was like, man, isn't that awesome? So, and that's not even as low as I found. I saw a Chad Pennycuff post one where it was two people for less than $100 round trip. So yeah.
It's unbelievable. When you start getting, you get to these cities that have those direct flights to Orlando, like out of Houston, I mean, you're talking $35 ticket, you know, I mean, $35. I mean, you can't drive a quarter of a leg.
100%.
You know, $5. So, yeah. You know, definitely, you know, and you have nothing to lose. I mean, that's a changeable credit. You know, you can get it and you can apply it to a different flight. So
it's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So this has been Jesse. Jesse, if someone has any questions, Universal, Disney, flying, rental cars, how do they find you?
Absolutely. So you can find me on Facebook, Jesse's Disney Travel. So that's Jesse, J-E-S-S-E-S. Disney Travel. You can also find me at Twitter, DisneyDad23. You can hit me up on Edcot. If you're not a member of Edcot, make sure you join. There's some fabulous people, including myself, and all the people you heard the comments from tonight. Yeah, definitely, you know, hit me up. I'm out there, you know, posting away. And if you want to come join from Disney World to Wizarding World, we'd love to have you in that community as well. Some fellow Edcot members are there as well. So,
gotcha. I am as well. So yep. Before we close, I just wanted to let everyone know that we still have another week or so. So it's the review part. So look at your podcast catcher of choice. And if you can, leave us a review. Anybody in the month of August, we have two prizes. First off, I have this metal. And if you're watching YouTube, I have this cool metal Tervis WDW review mug. Guaranteed to keep your drinks hot and cold for like forever, you know, for as long as the flight will last. And I've got this really cool, unique Schoferhofer bar pool, which would be a cool addition to anyone's man cave, or I guess you'd say lady cave. What's the right word? Woman cave? Man cave? Is that the right word?
She shed.
There you go. Leave us a review. Take a screenshot, send it to us, and you're in. We got a bunch already. And honestly, it's been overwhelming, so that's really cool. And outside of that, you know what? I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your expertise today, Jesse.
It's
always fun, you know, getting us closer, even Disney, even through remote ways, like just learning about flying a little better. It's always an awesome conversation.
Absolutely.
So yes, thank you, buddy. Absolutely. All right, so everyone who listened today, we hope we alleviated your anxieties and gave you some confidence in the airline industry. I'm about ready to go check out Southwest right now myself to go look for some cheap airfares. So join us in Edcot. Talk to Jesse. Talk to myself. Talk to everybody there that left these comments. So for downloading and listening, we'd like to thank you and have a great day.
Thank you.